This episode of Real Life Sci-Fi is brought to you by Epic Reads and the new sci-fi fantasy Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston.
New York Times bestselling author Victoria Schwab says Heart of Iron delivers a delightful cast and nonstop thrills. The pages flew by and I couldn't put it down.
Don't miss this epic adventure, perfect for fans of Six of Crows and Firefly.
Pick up Heart of Iron today. Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold.
Do you do audiobooks?
I tried, but the one that I tried to listen to was too quiet, and I was cooking.
Feral Audio.
Hey, guys. Before we get to the show, we just got a couple things we want to force you to do.
Our shit's all run by Feral Audio. If you want to support them and support us, you can go to feralaudio.com/support, and that leads you to our Amazon portal. You're going to buy shit on Amazon anyways. If you go through our portal, it gives us kickbacks.
So do that, and now we're going to start the show. Yo, what's up? God, I don't know how to start the show anymore without doing the same thing every time.
Roll up your windows and turn up the volume.
It's about to get weird.
You don't want people at the stoplights to hear you listening to this show.
Shit. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
And our guest today is our good friend, Doug Beatty.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, what's your title?
Well, I own an DP. LLC, like officially with the state of California, and I gave myself the title president. So I guess President Beatty.
President Doug Beatty. Beatty.
Yeah.
And what does your company do?
Mostly wedding videos.
Cool, man.
Yeah, no, it's great. You get to meet a lot of great people. No, that's a lie. We don't do wedding videos. We sort of You know, in the business, I don't want to go too inside or too far down the rabbit hole, but, you know, you need cameras, you need sound people, you need all that sort of stuff. So, like, I've streamlined that into a company where you can come rent, like, we're insured, small budget, like, whatever.
So, if you live in LA and you want to, if you want to rent a camera and what, sound equipment and stuff?
You need a sound, professional sound equipment.
Where do they go?
They go to Channel 101, then they shake my hand.
Okay.
And then they probably talk to you for a little bit, grab a beer. Then they maybe will talk to me.
So it's pretty hard to get your business.
Well, you can go on the internet. Like, we have a webpage, but it's not like you're going to get to download a movie. Like, you have to kind of be in Los Angeles. So,
well, but there are people in Los Angeles who listen to this, and they, you know, they might.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Might be.
Sure. Go to digitalladder.com, or we're on Facebook. Facebook.com.
What's the ladder reference?
I've been watching a lot of The Path on Hulu. Which is the new Aaron Paul show. So you guys been watching
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've been watching it.
So that it's like a cult, right?
So
no,
yeah,
it's a movement.
It's a well
it's from the
yeah,
movement
it's not
perspective.
A, right.
But so like Aaron Paul plays this guy who's on the fence who went to Peru and had I don't know what
so
the
you
DMT thing
you started,
like a vision.
You started your whole company less than 4 weeks ago?
No, I foresaw that show.
Oh, you foresaw it?
I did foresee it.
Oh, cool.
I foresaw it happened, and the text that the Myrists, who are the cult, follow is called The Ladder, and each level of understanding is a new rung on the ladder, so
all right.
There's like 10 rungs right now.
Sounds like a show I'd be into.
It's good, yeah. You should watch it.
Yeah, it's all right. Check it out.
I thought you were referencing that old English show, Black Ladder.
With Mr. Bean, yeah, Rowan Atkinson. No, what was it? But that's a good one too.
No, what is it? Adder.
Yeah,
it was Adder.
Yeah,
pretty funny joke. Pretty funny joke.
I couldn't watch it. I couldn't get through one episode of that show.
Because of their jokes or because of their
I think it was just a sign of the times. It was like too early for me, and like early BBC shit is just like really hard to watch.
Yeah.
It is. It's a slow-paced, different style of telling a story.
But. And it's like a cheesy, it's like a period, it's like a Renaissance thing, right? Or like a medieval. Yeah.
It is a medieval thing.
Yeah, I'm just like.
And they shoot it at like 200 frames a second, but play it back at 200 frames a second, so everything's like strobey and bright, like old Doctor Who.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of hard to get into that sort of stuff on the surface, but it's good. I like it.
Yeah, well, I'll take your word for it. There's enough media for me to consume out there. I don't have to go back to the 70s to watch Mr. Bean in a silly outfit.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
So one day you're going to be a grandpa.
I can't watch Mr. Bean.
You're gonna watch with your grandkids. Oh. It's going to be great.
So this is the show where we talk about sci-fi and conspiracy theories and paranormal. You actually were kind of on our show once before when we did the outside one looking for UFOs.
That's correct. Yeah.
You recorded it for us and ran the camera.
I did. I went out and I rented a 1200 millimeter lens. It looked like a Canon.
Yeah.
And just like pointed the camera at the sky and just shot what we could shoot. And we did get something. Like, I don't know if we talked much about it.
We never put that online, huh?
You didn't put the footage up?
No, because I was going to make a Kickstarter for that to make a documentary. And
well, if you want to know what happened and what was on the footage, Kickstart at
kickstarter.com/Willie's Kickstarter.
Willie's Kickstarter. And then we'll show you what we got.
That's not up yet, but I was just hoping we'd get something. We just got a bunch of balloons.
Mostly party balloons.
But we did see a couple things that were too moving too fast for us to get.
And at night, it's too hard to see, you know, past a certain point, especially in the city with all the lights sort of making it harder to shoot up into space. But whatever, you know, we did it. We weren't abducted or accosted by aliens, so.
So welcome back to the show. Do you believe in aliens?
I think that in to the, okay, I'm gonna give you a long answer. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'm gonna shorten it. I'm shortening my head right now. I think that in this world, the infinite is a concept, and to believe that there's no other forms of life in this closed system, like, then you don't believe in infinity.
We just need to put a supercut together of how many different ways there are to say the same thing. Because every single guest has basically said what you just said. Which is like, well, I believe
there could be.
It's improbable for us to be the only life forms in the universe.
On.
So that's just like the stock.
Here's a specific question. Let's say that there were aliens visiting, or either from here or interdimensional, or just other beings that were here, you know. Do you think that governments could A, keep that from us, and B, that if somebody had pictures or videos that were real, that you could identify it?
That it was real and not staged?
Yeah.
Well, it's a two-part question. First of all, could the government keep it from us?
Yeah, they could keep it from us. Could be already out there. Could be a secret government program.
I don't know, man.
It's unlikely.
My response to that is if this is all happening, the misinformation, disinformation would be so easy to do. You just flood it with all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah, it's easy to paint somebody as like a zealot or fanatic to sort of discredit them in the public eye, because it is kind of out there thinking, saying like, oh, we caught this alien and now we're hiding it from, you know, the people.
Well, yeah, if they caught one alien, yes, I think they could hide it. If they're like working with aliens, I don't know. It seems a little harder.
Isn't that the Eddie Murphy movie where he's turns out to be like a spaceship?
Meet Dave or whatever.
Dave, yeah.
He turns out to be a spaceship?
Dave is like a spaceship, and there's little tiny aliens inside of it.
Yeah. I never
you ever saw
that?
No.
No. Nobody saw that.
Well, you're right, but I mean,
anything
like something like that maybe, but not in the sense of it's like a spacecraft that looks exactly like a human being.
Eddie Murphy turned into like a shitty Steve Martin.
Well, the crumbs, right? The crumbs is what started it all. Like, that's anything after crumb. Is that what it's called? Crumbs?
Crumbs? Is this an Eddie Murphy?
The family of fat people. And he's like, ah, the Hercules. Clumps.
The clumps.
They both turned into like bad family comedy.
No, but listen, Steve Martin is still making, like, Princess of the Bride is fine. Cheaper by the Dozen is fine. The Clumps is fucking horrible, and everything he's done since is bad. But, like, you could get behind Steve Martin. Wait, did I say Princess Bride? Father of the Bride?
Said father of the
okay,
bride.
Good, good. Now you did say Princess Bride.
Okay, so I meant Father of the Bride.
He is Father of the Bride. That's what I heard.
I don't know, fucking.
What's that one with Queen Latifah that I didn't watch?
Ski Trip?
Sure.
What?
It's the one where she gets a death sentence and she like goes.
Is one of those people in that movie?
I don't know.
Didn't Steve Martin do a movie with Queen Latifah?
So. Maybe.
With Queen Latifah?
Were they like dated? Wasn't it like a romantic?
That sounds kind of familiar, actually.
Bringing Down the House.
That sounds right.
Probably that sounds right.
At any rate,
Bringing Down the Cash.
Please don't tweet at us the titles of these movies we don't know. So today, you want to get a further test? You believe in ghosts?
Got a ghost story?
You know what? I believe in interdimensional occurrences. I think that there are rifts in certain unexplained things, like magnetic fields that are just, you know, somewhere. And like, it sounds like Insane Clown Posse, yes, but magnets really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, explain that.
Well, it's just their properties, right? It's just their scientific properties.
But they match the properties of electricity, electromagnetism. It's like, I don't know. It's crazy. It is crazy.
What, magnets?
I don't believe in ghosts in the sense that, like, there's going to be a floating sheet in the corner or, like,
is this the episode that I find out that you side with Insane Clown Posse on science issues?
No. I guess I shouldn't have prefaced that because now it's... I can't unfire that gun.
Bigfoot?
No, Bigfoot? No. I don't think so. Bigfoot? Well, a lot of these things are people who are in the middle of nowhere who don't have a lot of popularity. They want to sell books.
But you just admitted you believe in interdimensional... things.
I think
if Bigfoot is an interdimensional being?
Well, I think you could sell a lot of books if you follow.
Well, I think that's Willie's theory.
Is that your theory?
I like that.
Is it your original theory?
There's a guy that Kiwanu, I can't think of his name, Lasparitis, whatever, he wrote the book Psychic Sasquatch. Supposedly he's contacted him and had him, that being, that race, that there's a race of them and that they're interdimensional beings. And
so is the Bigfoot like just sort of laying low, hiding from everybody, just checking out Earth? Like, what's the point?
There's a bigger story that like isn't easy to explain, but basically that they were brought here by another alien race to kind of take care of the Earth.
Oh, I thought they were just coming and going, like, let's go freak out that other dimension for a little bit.
They're just prankster?
And then they'd show up and be like, hey, I'm Bigfoot.
It's kind of like
no, fuck, oh, shit.
Let's say we went to a planet where everything pooped, right? Let's say we went to a planet where everything pooped and nobody cleaned up their shit. And there were no flies and there was no bacteria to break down that poop and it was all just sitting there. Don't you think we'd bring some kind of bacteria to break that down? Or would we just kind of just not go back? Or
so who's?
I'm just saying we'd do something.
We'd try.
Would we? I don't know. I'd just stay away from there. Be like, oh, it's poop planet. I don't want to go.
I know it's a bad example because I don't even touch poop through a small bag. If I'm walking your dog, it's gonna be. I'm gonna probably puke at picking that shit up. At any rate,
it's just so warm.
Yeah.
If it wasn't warm, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Like,
if I'm holding my breath, I'm gonna take a big breath and like taste the smell.
Here's the thing: like my cat shits on the floor daily because she's old and it sucks, and she does it right by the litter box. But she does it like in the nighttime, and I don't even go in that room for the most part. And then in the morning, I see it, and it's like all hard and stuff. And then it's like, Oh, I have no problem picking this up now. But if I had to do it right when she was done, it would fucking freak me out.
Because even poop, like, the smell goes away pretty fast.
Her diet is impeccable. So,
or the hot
it
smell.
It doesn't even smell.
The cold smell's okay. The hot smell, man.
I don't even want to think about it. That's pretty gross.
It's not, though. It's like,
well, what,
it's right by the litter.
Feces? It's pretty gross.
Who sticks anyone's nose? Who said that?
Well, Willie said he's smelling it.
Can you hold your breath? Until you can't hold your breath anymore, and then, like, even if you plug your nose and talk to your mouth, like, you still, like, taste the smell. Whatever. Whatever.
What if you're walking your dog and he has, like, not diarrhea, but, like, almost diarrhea, and there's people around, and so they don't know that it's diarrhea or borderline diarrhea. Like, how do you deal with that? Or do you just, like, do you pretend? I feel like if I was watching someone's dog and I had to take it for a walk, like, 9 out of 10 times, I would have a bag and just kind of, like, pretend to pick it up just in case anyone was watching me.
What if you had green spray paint on the bag that was fresh so that you just mashed the poop down and then it turned green? I wouldn't mind that.
That's even grosser. You're still touching it.
You're dressing
you're
the
still
poop.
You're still going to fucking gag.
Yeah. I think you do have to make an attempt.
You just have to act like you make an attempt.
I always watch people from my window or when I'm sitting out here smoking, and, like, I won't say anything because I'm like, I don't want to start shit, but I'll give them the stare down, you know?
No, but that's the one thing that you should say, because everybody knows that it's wrong. It's not like one of these, like, cultural things. It's like, if you have a dog and you take it on walks, part of your responsibility is picking that up, and everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's
so
why.
If it's in your fucking yard, you don't say anything?
I've only seen it happen once. Well, you know what I do? As soon as they leave, I scoop up all the poop onto the sidewalk, so hopefully they step in it.
No, that's just someone else is going to step in it. I'm not saying that you caused that, but, like, you just got to go, like, hey.
There's a
great... Because they're going to know. You don't even have to say anything more than that.
Hi. I'll say hi.
There's a great Paul Giamatti scene in Billions. If you guys watch that, where he confronts a dog guy who doesn't pick up after him, and he makes him pick it up with his bare hand. It's pretty good, so you should study that and then use it on the next time.
We'll get started here, but I saw this one great video of this guy. It could have been fake. Could have been a fake video, you know? But the guy, like, started yelling at the guy for not picking up the dog's poop, and then he picked up the poop and smashed it in his face and took off running. It's so good. It's so good. It's got to be real.
It sounds really real.
Like at BuzzFeed, there's just a table and people getting some dog poop smashed in the face for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what are we talking about?
Today we're talking about profits, and not like, you know,
capitalism?
Religious profits, but more seers, prophets with prophecies. Of course. Well, hold on. What do you think about that? Do you think that in the history, in recorded history, that any of these prophets, that anybody with any sort of prophecy, like, actually saw the future?
I think, like, even in the best circumstances, nobody's going to be 100% accurate in their texts, and that if. I mean,
what did you just say? Inner texts?
Accurate in their texts or their speaking or their predictions? Oh,
accurate so, in their texts.
In their texts.
Okay.
And, you know, somebody's going to hit a home run and predict something like, you know, Nostradamus or something. If, like, one of the 1,000 things he says is going to come true. But people tend to focus on what's correct about a prophet's thing. It's kind of like a, you know, you go to the fortune teller and they're, you know, vague purposefully to try and get a read and then take credit, you know, later.
Now, I agree with your statement, except for when you hear of the stories of police departments hiring psychics to, like, help find missing people.
Is that even a thing, though? That's a real thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, wait, can I ask you, what do you think deja vu is? Is that you seeing the future? Or is that just, like, a weird coincidence?
if you want me to go first, I think that it's like a lapse in like brain synapses, and you like you see it and then you process it in a weird way that makes you feel like you've seen it before while you're currently seeing it.
Have you been convinced that you've seen something before? Have you had like extremely convincing?
I mean, I've had the feeling of deja vu, but it's always like the second you're having it, and then when it's over, you go, "Oh, I just had deja vu." But I've never like seen it, and then
like
that
Final
day,
Destination, the style.
Yeah, and then like that day something happened, and I was like, "Don't pick up that pencil," or anything like that. Yeah. Like,
but it's a weird thing, right? Where you sort of feel like you've been in that situation before.
It's weird, but it's so sudden that you can't accomplish anything because you're reveling in the fact that it's happening to you while it's happening.
Yeah. Right. And I think that your definition, Wade, is the most popular definition of deja vu. I did have one once that lasted for a little while.
You call me a hack?
Oh, no. I'm saying that like that is what is accepted by
cool.
most.
Sweet.
I had one, though, where it was lasting a little while, and I started saying the sentence as they were saying it to me to, like, prove it, like, no, I have heard this before.
See, I can do it right now. Ready? Go.
Apes of wrath grapes of math.
Am I supposed to give you a suggestion now for a 30-minute show? that was it right there. Wade, you're a prophet.
Like, okay, like specifically Nostradamus. Like, I've always felt that way. It's like, he said apple, and that's New York, or whatever. You know, the weirdly specific.
Weirdly vague.
Could this be the king's genes? It could be. It probably is.
Elvis Presley? You'd wear jeans.
But I was watching this documentary today about Nostradamus. It was made in 1979. It was so much more interesting because I feel like documentaries of today are
too
really
factual.
Really trying to get the glamour out of the whole thing. You know, where it's like, oh, fuck, look at this. Well, what about this?
Wait, you mean they're trying to sabotage the glamour? They're trying to remove the glamour out of it, or they're trying to display glamour.
They're trying to just display it, get you to talk about
just
it,
play it up a little bit.
Yeah, play up the biggest thing.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Whereas this one was like, you know, I feel like documentaries in the 70s, maybe early 80s, are more like, and some of them still today, but it's like, there aren't really journalists anymore, and you can't be unbiased anymore, but I felt like this thing was pretty unbiased, and they did a good job of explaining things that I didn't even know before. So, like, yes, he wrote this book of prophecies, right? But what happened was all these old guys, what the fuck am I saying? They used to use a lot more astrology. Like, they would look to the stars to find answers for things or whatever. But anyways, they weren't allowed to do that because everything was run by the church, you know?
Right. There'd be, like, witchcraft or seen as, like, the dark arts or magic or something. Whatever.
But a lot of, like, you know, before that, a lot of kings, you know, had their seers with them and would ask them, oh, well, should we go to? There's a story of this king who's like, should we go to war? And the seer was like, if you go to war, a great nation will fall, or whatever, not nation, whatever, a great kingdom will fall. And then his kingdom fell because he went to war and he lost.
Is that the
I don't know what my reaction is doing.
Being shame.
But it's like, they were right. Just not too specific, like a fucking genie wish.
Yeah, genie right. That comes back to haunt you. You got to be careful.
But what you wished for.
Yeah. See, there it is again.
That's what you're going to say, right? I just had deja vu.
Oh, I wished for gold, and my dad turned into gold, and so my dad's gone, but I have gold.
Gold dad.
Gold dad, coming this fall to CBS.
But
it's about a record producer. It's not literal.
Played by
But I guess what he
Bernie
did.
Bernie Mac's dad, right? I was going to say Bernie Mac. Fuck.
Was he wanted the things that he saw to get out there so that people could take that information, maybe try to prevent some of the things from happening, right?
Right.
But he also had to be secrety. What's the word that's like secrety? I'm already buzzing.
Secrety, like secretive.
Basically, he didn't. It's like if he basically came out and said, "Yeah, Hitler's gonna fucking you know, kill a bunch of people," then like, yes, you might be able to stop it. But then if he changes his name, whatever. It's like he didn't want the bad guys, the evil of the stories to take that information and make it work better for them.
Right.
So
if you knew the future. Let's say time travel.
I like this.
You go
all
back
right.
and you try and change something in the past to affect the future.
Yeah. Me?
Yes. And you had the knowledge.
Me or Willie or both of us? Are we a team? Should we all three go?
We should all three go.
Okay.
Where should we go? What year?
What do you want to stop? 9/11?
Let's do something.
More concrete?
More concrete.
Yeah. Well, what's shitty? I mean, what happened to you when you were a kid that you want to stop?
Yeah, go specific. Go small.
My sister fell on me and broke my collarbone.
Okay, cool. Let's stop that.
We can stop that.
Do you remember the day?
I don't.
Do you remember the year?
I remember the year. I was in kindergarten.
Would your mom know?
Probably.
Okay, so we can find out.
We can find out.
You're in kindergarten.
Yeah.
So we should go to, like, I don't know.
I don't want to hang out for a year waiting
for
this shit.
Yeah, me neither. So.
But it's like 19...
Narrow it down.
1987.
Narrow it down. Let's say that we get the week right. Because I'm sure she has like some kind of doctor bills or something.
Or let's say you do it wrong the first time, then you can just go back a little sooner, like right 3 days before, so you can set up.
Well, you know, it'd be easy is if we just went back and just tried some stuff, and then we went back again just to tell ourselves exactly what to do. It's like, hey, because like we're not going to get freaked out when we see ourselves.
Well, but then primer rules though, you start going crazy, right? The more you time travel,
you lose yourself in the.
But we could say that doesn't cycle. Happen to us. I think it's easy. You call your parents and you go like, "Hey, when did I break my collarbone? Like, when did I go to the emergency room?" They must have records of that, right?
Yeah.
Or you could call your doctor. You could call your doctor.
If you go to the doctor, always call a doctor.
So we could find out the week.
Totally
I'm sure.
Could.
So then we go back, and then what's the point of your hypothesis? Like, how is this going to work?
It changes. If you had the ability to change the outcome,
so we
would
do
you
it.
Do it? Or would, is there like existences on rails, on
well,
set path?
Well, set up the scenario. How did it happen?
Yeah, what if you breaking your collarbone was why you met Lisa? Yeah,
what if that's why you were such a good pitcher or something like that? Because
Henry Rodengardner, yeah, from Rookie of the Year.
Right.
It healed differently. I can throw 115 miles an hour.
Was that the rookie?
That is
didn't you play baseball though?
I did.
Was it your right collarbone?
It was my right collarbone.
Are you right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Okay, see, so maybe you wouldn't. Did you go to college on a scholarship?
Yeah. So let's say like
you did.
It affects one throw in a big game.
Wait, you went to college on baseball scholarship?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, fucking cool! I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to. That was my thing.
And this was after you broke your collarbone. So.
years.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you did it in kindergarten.
I was in kindergarten when I broke my collarbone, so it was like,
oh yeah,
I was still
yeah.
growing.
So that's the thing. Like, what if when we didn't break your collarbone, when we stopped your sister from falling on you, you never would have liked baseball or gotten into baseball or something like that. And then I don't know where you would be at this point if that probably the same place. I mean, would that have affected your life very dramatically?
I will never know. I will never know.
Well, let's just say, was there a college that you wanted to go to but couldn't get into because they weren't offering you a scholarship? And you're like, well, I gotta go where the scholarship is.
Yeah. I don't know if that would have had that butterfly effect on it. But well, you have two choice. Like, you have an option of not doing anything or doing something to change.
What would be Nostradamus' version of your collarbone breaking?
Didn't he predict World War II or World War III? Can you say something about World War III?
Yeah, supposedly it's going to happen soon. Here's my thing about all these.
It would be like the bone that holds the necklace, a great weight is destructive. There's some shit. This is what Nostradamus would say, and then everyone would be like, "What a genius." He's talking about Doug Beatty when he was in kindergarten and his sister fell.
I always wondered what if you were let's say you could see in the future, right? Let's just say that you could. I mean, of course, I believe that anybody who actually can't, because I think that that's possible. But if you saw into the future, that reading would be specific to everybody's very specific consciousness at the time, and that could all change and then change history because of your consciousness. I think that that's all related. And so, like, when you hear guys like Edgar Cayce talking about the readings he used to give, he wanted to help people. He'd be like, well, this is how this is, but understand that I'm reading this and that the way my self-consciousness, my consciousness is affecting my reading of this. So people that even see things can see things wrong because of themselves.
Self-fulfilling, kind of. Basically. So you project your version of events.
Not necessarily that you project your version, but you see your version. Mm-hmm. I mean, so yes, yeah, same answer. I'm just trying to say that like they're not like going over there going trying to sway people into things. That them seeing the future, and the way Edgar Cayce saw it was he would tap into the Akashic Records, which is supposedly a record of every sentient being, their thoughts, every thought that they have is recorded into not a book, but it's just recorded, and you can access those records so that your existence actually survives through time.
And what medium does it get saved? Like, is there a hard drive somewhere?
Well, that's what's weird, because that's what it is comparable to. Except that it's a hard drive that also takes in all of your feelings and the feelings and thoughts of the person reading it.
That's kind of cool.
I feel like Edgar Cayce kind of taints too much of this podcast because, yeah, like he was a prophet or whatever. We've talked about him before. He seemed like a really cool dude.
But you should just watch one of those, and then you should watch a documentary of him, because I'm definitely not doing him justice saying that, like, he cured himself and he cured some people.
Well,
and people went to get oil from him.
I just think that, like, the way that it loses all credibility is when you talk about the Akashic Records, because that's like, okay, now we're in weird space dimension, and he's like going through a fucking card catalog.
Some people think that is books. What Moses was referring to when he said that the judgment day, you know, the record of your existence, that's what Moses was referring to.
But then you have to believe in Moses, you know, and then you have to go.
I'm just saying there are different religions, different societies, different things that, like, the way that, what if they were talking about the same thing and they described it differently? And then, to me, it does validate it a little more, whatever.
I think it does, but at what point did people stop being prophets? Like, we don't have...
When it became easier to disprove, I think?
No. When science basically stopped prophets, because then you would still have to make predictions, but then you'd have to prove them. Like, that is science, you know, is
the scientific method, kind of like proof, you know, control. So you can sort of repeat an experiment and show that something.
So these guys were just doing a hypothesis that they wouldn't have to test.
Yeah.
And then when it would turn out correct, people would be like, "Oh, you're a prophet."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get one right. And yes,
there are also people really wanted to believe one way or the other. Something definitely was going to happen, like a signpost, you know, and they wanted to be, and it's mostly religious.
I mean, what happens if
they're like, I can see the future, like maybe they're have some sort
of
special
mental capacity.
That's
a bold statement to come out and say that, and then also charge money for that.
Yeah, I talked to the spirit, and he's like, yeah, you should buy that Tesla Model X, like it's gonna like turn some heads.
Well, are we talking about? I guess distinguish for me the definition, the difference between prophets and like mediums and
they're all cut from the same
psychics
cloth. They're all cut from the same cloth.
Well, here's the definition of prophet is specifically that you speak for a certain, let's say, voice. It doesn't necessarily have to mean I don't know. I looked up the definition. And I'm like, you know, people that give prophecies, they're not necessarily. There's like two definitions of prophets floating out there because there's the religious prophet.
Well, I just mean in the context of this discussion.
Okay, okay. In this discussion, a prophet is somebody who sees, who can see the future and then records that down and puts it out there
and tells people about it.
So there's Nostradamus, and then there's Edgar Cayce,
and there's, but then also, you know, all these old
bags,
all these old
bags.
Kings used to have their own prophets, basically old astrologers. Because okay, like Isaac Newton. Have you guys? Have you? Do you know what Bible Code is?
Bible Code?
Yeah,
it's coming to Fox this fall.
Bible Code.
It's Bible about code a priest is... who lost his religion and now he works for the cops.
There are a lot of people that can find. I don't know how it works. I have the second book. I don't have the first book, so I've never read it because I was waiting to get the first book. But basically, it's like you take the original Bible.
It's like a Da Vinci Code
kind
of thing.
And you go through it, and then there's like a code within the page that reveals other messages within it. And people,
that's not a movie. No one's made a movie out of that.
I'm sure there's a low-budget movie about
Bible
it.
Code, man.
Bible Code. Could have been like the under-the-radar VH straight-to-DVD release when Da Vinci
but
Code
you can,
was out there.
You can backwards.
Well, but if we got Bible Code going with Nick Cage...
Nick Cage is
unstoppable.
Available.
He was great in National Treasure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's great in everything, almost.
Well, he's great in everything that he doesn't take seriously.
Well, can I say you probably want to go... You probably want to go, like, at a different angle. Like,
do you want a beer?
Sure. you probably, if you're going to make that movie...
Yes.
Yeah. I think you start it at, like... Christian Slater.
Let's
level.
Not do. Let's
or like do it.
You know who we should do
religious
is like,
angle. You know who makes all those religious.
Wait, why would Christian Slater not be religious?
Well, no, there's like this whole big industry of like Bible like movies.
Like oh, like the Kirk
movies.
Cameron
like
bullshit.
Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to get Kirk Cameron in there.
No, fuck that, dude.
No. Because
I
want
to make a fun movie, not a propaganda.
Religious
movie.
people that follow a religion, most of them are not into Bible Code because that's basically the saying that you can, you know, they're not into predictions. That religions are not into predictions.
Well, isn't that
other
what
than
the Bible
oh, he's coming
is,
back?
Isn't that what the Bible says? Is like the guide will come again. Like
that's the overall prediction. And then
no, but you
Revelations.
Don't listen to the Bible Code.
Oh,
the Bible Code is reading shit that points you to other shit, and it. Defies the Bible.
So the Bible's
it's almost like
for like the
yeah,
lower.
That's I think what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there are people. Bible Code's been around for a long time. Even so, like Isaac Newton, for example, he was into Bible Code, but he couldn't publish his stuff because you know, what's that going to turn him into? Here's this science guy. Because most of the old scientists, their day job was that they were astrologers. And then they've played with science because maybe they were in alchemy, whatever. To them, it was all the same thing. And like a lot of old astrologists in that realm, or religious people even then that were playing with this because they weren't supposed to, was like, well, here was their definition. If there is a God that created everything, and that this God has order, the perfect harmony, perfect thing, that you should be able to find. Perfectness within nature and that you could also maybe find the answers of the future within nature.
Oh man, you can totally find that. You can totally find both those things.
where do I go?
Just sitting on a hill looking at the sunset. You got your baby on your arm in that kiss. That's when the universe is perfect.
It was such a small kiss.
So that's the baby kissing you? Or
no, your baby, not a baby.
Well, okay. Well, you got a baby either way. It's a small kiss.
You'll get a baby eventually.
Well, yeah, I think that there are a lot of things in nature that aren't
not a literal
perfect,
baby,
by, like,
your girl.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it.
And I'm not saying that the Bible is nature. That's not what I'm saying either. But it's easy to find 9/11 in Bible Code. You know what I mean? Like you back engineer, you back find the
because
letters that make
like,
sense.
Yeah, because it's like 1,200 pages or something.
But
right?
But they've been trying. People have been trying to find predictions of things using Bible code. It's like, oh, here's how we, here's, okay, let's say that there was a passage using Bible code that led us to 9/11. It's like, okay, well, let's follow that same formula and try to predict other things. Okay. So they've been doing that forever. And so, like, Isaac Newton used to do that, and he was trying to find...
Well, people try and find meaning between two things. Like, there's a point A, point B, and then there's nothing in between. Then they're going to make up a story that connects those two things. And so, by somebody saying, the flood's coming, and, you know... Wasn't there some guy recently that said the end of the world was going to happen?
There's like, tons of guys. Then,
Yeah, this was a publicized thing. That they were like, oh, it's the... I think they believed in the Mayan calendar, and they're like, okay, so the Mayan calendar is going to be the end of the universe. And then it didn't happen. And then they came out like 3 months later and they're like, okay, we were wrong about that, but it's definitely going to happen like in the next 3 months. And then that day happened and it didn't. And then they were like, I don't know anymore. Like,
they just sort of backed out of the room. I think they just kind of, like,
I'm just, happen, here's my thing. Let's say the end of the world was in a week, right? Let's just say we all somehow knew and we all agreed that it was in a week.
Okay.
How stupid is that week going to be?
Oh, it's going to be a fucking nightmare. I don't want to live in that week. I'd kill myself.
Here's my thing. If you knew the world was going to end, and this is something that
what would I do?
I think is true for most people, you wouldn't change your day-to-day. Some people are like, "Oh, I got all this bucket list. I'm going to go see the Eiffel Tower. I'm going
to
like
But then there would be 10 million people trying to see the Eiffel Tower because we all have the same bullshit idea of what's cool to see because we all watch the same bullshit.
It'd be like, hogwash. Oh, even though I can see like the comet in the sky, like getting closer and closer. I'm just go to work. Cool. Let's watch some Netflix.
I know.
I haven't seen House of Cards yet.
I should. You know what? There's a. I should watch that old series that I never wanted to watch. I'll just sit here and wait for it to come. Fuck you.
It wouldn't change anything. I don't think people would probably not believe it.
Here's the thing. The reason why it would change is, let's say you wanted to hang out and watch TV, but then somebody else's idea was, I'm gonna go fucking rob everybody. Like, everyone's gonna affect everyone.
Well, but where is this TV coming from when it's the end of the... Like, what... Do you think the Netflix servers are going to...
I mean, if I knew...
They're going to be like, yeah, we got to keep doing this.
If I knew the end of the world was coming, I'd just fuck up big business. That's all I'd do.
Okay. How would you do that? You go max out your credit cards and not pay them off?
Well, that's good. One week, could I get applied?
You get a loan What Best Buy is going to have employees that are like, yeah, it's the end of the week, but like, I have a loyalty to Best Buy.
I'm gonna go blow up their transformer so there's no power.
You probably just go out and like just look at the sky, right? And just...
This is self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to blow shit up, so are a bunch of other people. The world's going to end because... We heard it was going to end.
Well, you know what I would do? I'd start looking for underground bunkers. That's what I would do. I wouldn't go blow shit up. I would try not to stay out of everybody's way, collect some
food,
and start? Go.
Where would you start looking for bunkers? Would it be in Los Angeles? Or are you going to spend a day driving like out to Arizona?
Well, like, you know, Charlie Chaplin's house has got an underground tunnel that he connected his houses under. You know what I mean? Like, there are definitely, you could look up underground facilities and within Los Angeles and not have to go too far and figure it out and just break in and just stay there.
Somebody's already there. Somebody's done it. They've looked up the bunkers and they're holding up there. Well, I think, you know,
I guess I'd probably just watch a sunset on the hill with my baby.
I'd go collect some babies.
Give her a little kiss.
Like, hey, man.
No, is this your girlfriend or
this will be
baby?
A real baby this time. This will be
hey,
a real
adoption
baby,
real agency, baby. You ain't getting rid of these babies in a week. Let me have all of them.
I'll take them. We'll roll around in the grass together. Oh, they can't roll around yet? Well, they only have a week. I'll just lay them in the grass.
Did you,
that's a great image.
Would you consider this seeing stuff? Did you ever hear about JFK's the day that he died? This conversation that he had with Jackie,
was this in 11/22/63? The Hulu original miniseries.
So hold on, Jackie Kennedy was. I'm just reading this off of this is off a Huffington Post article. Jackie Kennedy was unnerved by a full page ad placed in the Dallas Morning News. Not so much because it accused the president of being a communist sympathizer, but rather because it had a black border and resembled a death notice. JFK tried to comfort her with the words, We're heading into nut country today, but Jackie, if somebody wants to shoot me from window with a rifle, nobody can stop it, so why worry about it? That Kennedy made such a comment about his own assassination on the day he was shot is coincidence enough, but that he so casually predicted the precise method of his death is nothing short of sinister. Whatever, that's not how...
That's interesting. People predicting their own death is kind of strange coincidence, especially somebody that is that widely known.
I know I keep bringing up Edgar Casey. I think that he is one of the most valid prophets, and it's all on record. Everything he said is on record. Yes, you have to pay to get access to his archives, but there's plenty of documentaries and stuff out there about him. But he predicted the day he was going to be buried. He's like, 3 days from now, I'm going to be buried. And he was.
Well, I mean, it's hard to deny things. But, you know, on the other hand, nobody's advertising the Edgar Casey book of Sports Almanac.
But their organization is trying to teach people how to tap into the universe the way that he does. That's what their organization does. It's meditation. It's connecting to...
I think it's money making, right?
I mean, the answer
on the surface, it's to improve people's lives, but deep down, it's the more he's right, the more money he makes, right?
I mean, he's been dead for so long that
The Edgar Casey Foundation probably has a board, and they're saying.
But let's say, and listen, I agree that most people are trying to make money. I do agree with that, but like when I don't know, like. I wonder if this is true. I don't think Nostradamus like made that much money off of his book. I'm sure he died pretty quick. I'll look that up. But his thing was like, okay, so he came up with, he had all these prophecies, right? And he made them all secretive so that like you had to be smart to get the information and hopefully you'd do something good with it. And then it was all chronological, and then he threw it all up in the air, and that's the order of the book. So that you like, not only is there, you don't know the timeline of what the predictions, but they can refer to anything. It's just like, well, hopefully the information gets out there so that good can, basically so that evil wouldn't take it.
Wait, did he write it? He didn't write it chronologically, or he did?
He wrote it chronologically.
What?
And then he
threw it into the air?
Yeah.
What a dick.
Well, if it was chronological and you could figure it out, all of a sudden... I mean, to me, this is saying that he was aware of the powers that be.
Then why write it down?
Ego.
If you can figure this out, cool. I hope you're not evil.
He couldn't remember it all.
Because that's why I threw it up in the air.
But let's say you made it real easy and you were very exact and precise about everything. That book's not going to get made. And
this is Nostradamus?
Yeah.
What year did he even live? It was like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, right? Because
with a name like that,
because
it's gotta be hundreds of years
ago. If we know him, he was probably doing okay financially.
Yeah, he probably was upper class for his time. I mean, obviously smart enough to know how to write books.
It's just crazy that this stuff. And like, what about translations and like the whole telephone game of
pre-internet prophecy? Like, was the fun thing to talk about.
But here's my thing.
I heard that a great eagle will be taken down.
Is that America? Are we going to get taken down? Are we going to get invaded?
I don't know. This great eagle could be Germany.
I mean, he was way, way before.
He died in 1566.
Okay.
So that he wasn't making big money off his books. You know what I mean?
And we weren't even like... The USA wasn't even, I don't even think we had the eagle as like our thing, right? I know his whole deal is that he can tell if he's a prophet, but like, I know that like a lot of times, wasn't the 9/11 thing, it was like a great eagle will be.
I've read a couple. One of them talked about a new city. It was like, there weren't, you know, like, yes, we are the new city. I agree that tying everything to big events, I really don't think that 9/11 is a big event on the history of the world.
Did you know The Simpsons predicted 9/11? Do you see that?
Yeah, yeah. That's so dumb.
No, what?
There's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart holds up a New Yorker magazine and it says $9, and then the Twin Towers are next to the $9, so it says 9/11.
I mean, here's my thing. Any time before the Twin Towers got taken down, we've had what, a decade since the other World Trade Center was bombed. You know what I mean? It's right. Like. You can jokingly write that the towers are going to get attacked. You know what I mean? It's the World Trade Center. It means something to us, but not to fucking.
Well, but that's not even what they were doing. It sounds like he just showed a magazine that happened to have 9.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
but people use that image.
The whole Harold Ramis predicting it.
But what about
Back to the Future? You ever go through that?
What's that one?
Man, there's these online, you know, like YouTube.
But that's exactly the point. That's why Bible Code works.
But the Lone Gunman, the spinoff from X-Files of those nerdy guys that were conspiracy theory guys.
Oh, we know what the Lone Gunman is.
Okay, good. They did an episode about 9/11, you know? Yeah, it wasn't a date. But yes, of course you're going to guess. I mean, when you think of – when Americans think of America.
So you don't believe in prophets then?
I don't
Unless
believe
from a guy.
I don't believe in most of them. Now, after watching this Nostradamus documentary, I'll link it in our show notes. It was pretty good, and I liked because I've seen probably most of the Nostradamus documentaries, and the whole time I'm like, fuck you. Yeah. I was watching some stuff today where this guy was just like, Nostradamus predicted this, and he predicted this. I'm like. I never want to listen to you say that. I want to hear the quatrain, and I want to see what it's applied to.
The what?
The is that his text.
Yeah, that's how he. That was the style that he wrote it in.
Quatrain.
The quatrains.
It's like, where is he from?
I don't France. Know.
France. Okay, so it's like French. It's a book of French poetry, basically.
So it'd be it's basically like saying a verse.
A verse.
So it's like a. A 5-beat measure or some shit like that?
I think it's for entertainment purposes, and that he didn't just disclose that on the surface. He
well, like,
sort of
okay,
left that part out.
Take the Book of Revelations, for example. That was written, and people are like, oh, he's predicting the end of the world. And then, like, if you look at the history of the guy that wrote that book or that chapter, whatever you call it, he, you know, at this time.
I thought God wrote it.
No, God never wrote anything.
But weren't they transcribing what God told them?
No.
Yeah, and then, like, the guy who got his wife cheated on him with another man, like, added the part, like, oh, you should stone women to death if they commit adultery. Like, that was in the original.
God.
Where's the original? Gave it back.
Hey,
gave it back to the other guy.
It's me, God. I never said that. Don't do that. Take it out.
But when he wrote
Todd?
The Book of Revelations, he was already ostracized from society and known as a crazy person. Yet it's in that book.
Wait, we know who wrote the individual books of the Bible?
Most of them are just letters.
The New Testament.
Just the New Testament.
The Old Testament was what brought down from the mountains, like lightning struck a tablet or something.
It was just a bunch of letters. They walked down the hill and then they like formed themselves, and people had to start reading the words that they were making and writing it down, going, these letters, they must be magical creatures from God.
So
they're like, in the beginning. What is it? And on the first day, is that how it begins?
Yeah, in the beginning, on the first day, that's how it starts.
But there was no O. There was just a little rock that was being the O, and that's why Jewish
like
people won't
write.
Like
a snake is an S?
They won't write God.
Because, really? Oh.
Because there was no O.
That's true.
Well. It's not because they can't say God or spell God. It's just there was no O, so it looks like a little asterisk to them.
Yeah, I guess O would be the toughest. Well, M, maybe. But whatever.
Oh, you think it was all like woodland creatures and stuff like that? I was picturing like just letter people coming down the mountain.
like mascots coming down and then, like shuffling around.
It wasn't supposed to be a book. That was just the order that they came down the mountain. I was like, I'm going to draw all these creatures.
Not even Roman characters.
Yeah, it was English.
Okay. Everybody had Shakespearean accents.
I mean, that's the way I think the Bible was written.
Yeah, well, it could be. It's the longest game of telephone ever. That's the Bible.
Yeah, right? That's why none of it's true.
Well, the New Testament was written like at least 100 years after Jesus' death. 100 years.
Yeah.
But there were a collection of letters that they were sending to.
But then the king, like King James, is like, I don't like the way this kind of looks. We're going to edit it, and then we're going to have a different version.
That's my biggest problem with Christianity of today is like, we're still on the king's version. Like, why don't we, you know, like Mary and Judas both had books that should have been in that, but that was edited out.
You got to find them with the Bible code. They'll tell you where they are so you can read them. You can unlock them like a Mad Lib.
But anything that you read even then, like, I don't trust translations.
Well, all right, but this has nothing to do with prophecies.
Kinda.
I want to know.
Well, most of those, like, Nostradamus prophecies are basically just translations. It's like, oh, well, this means this, this means this.
So yeah, to have a valid prophecy, how do you have to be alive by the time you've made the prediction until it fulfills itself?
Well,
and then you can say, like, yep, see, here's where I wrote that down.
Here's the thing. You can accidentally, like, okay, let's say you take science fiction writer, right? Robert Heinlein, whatever. He was an old science fiction writer. Within one of his books, he described a waterbed so good that the guy who invented the waterbed had a hard time getting his patent because it was written in this book.
That's pretty baller.
So it's like, is that prediction?
But that,
like,
happens in sci-fi all the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, whereas to me, that's just, not...
You can dream up some technology that doesn't exist yet, and then the technology will catch up to you and be like, oh, now this could be a thing, and it's just the easiest thing you could ever...
Yeah, and so know. I don't count that as prophecy. Some people say that, like, oh, maybe the science fiction writer was getting subconscious messages from what the future was, or maybe he saw these visions and didn't know it and turned it into a book.
Or like L. Ron Hubbard.
That's what it would be, too. Basically. It would be the waterbed. Like, you must tell the people about this amazing thing called the waterbed.
Why are we sleeping on springs?
So comfortable.
On these rock
we could
springs.
Be sleeping on water.
Don't have Let it at a dorm room know. In college. It's not going to be allowed, along with pets or smoking.
So I just think that, like, I don't... Well, here's my question. Like, how long is Nostradamus's, what is it? The quintile? Quintile? What is it called?
He had a book called The Prophecies.
But that was prose.
The style.
The style, yeah.
But how long was it?
Was
it as long as the Bible?
I feel like it's a pretty long document. That's just a guess.
Because somebody could do this with, like, infinite jest. They could just, like, go and start, like, reading into infinite jest and, like, moving words around and, like, changing pages and come up with, like, some kind of, like, fucking... prophecy thing.
So you're on the fence of no such thing as prophets. Is
what I don't believe they exist in any way at all.
No? Nobody's ever seen the future?
If Nostradamus could see the future, then why did he get divorced? You know? How come one of his four children died? You know, why did he die penniless in a gutter of France when... These are all made up, but I'm sure that he had hard times at some point.
Yeah, he probably had hard times at point, but
just like I don't know. No, I don't believe
maybe
it.
Maybe that was
I don't
his
believe it at all.
Maybe that was his mission is to spread his
to give people a very vague idea of what might happen, and the only way they'll ever really know is if it happens, and then they can, like, retroactively look at his book and be like, "Oh, he called it. Fuck."
could be.
Yeah.
Here's my thing is, like, let's say you could see the future right now.
All right.
And you could see things happening, and let's say you saw something terrible happening next year.
Okay.
Do you feel like you should tell anybody?
Well, it depends on what I see after that and what the outcome is and, like, how bad the legislation is that they're going to draft.
Because, like, let's say you saw America just being blown up with one bomb.
Okay. I'd be into that.
And if you started telling people, A, no one's going to believe you. And then if they do believe you, what if let's say that there were people within America that knew about that bomb happening and they had their escape plan and they wanted business as usual.
I mean, has anyone ever done a movie like this? Because it's a great movie. Where I just like see
there's that
am I psychic before? Okay, here's
there's
what
that
it is.
Ben Affleck movie.
No, here's what it is. I'm a hack psychic who's like taking people's money. I'm not really psychic at all. I'm just like fucking with them, like, you know, like Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost.
Like, okay. Yeah.
And then one day I have like this vision that's like real and I know it's real. I just fucking know it.
But nobody's going to believe you.
And no one's going to believe me because I'm this hack psychic. And my friends are going to be like, come on, we know that you just like, you roll marks. That's
You've
what you do.
You've told me this.
So the prophecy has to involve like a great expense to prove or avoid.
No,
he has
so
to
then,
make people believe.
So then I'm like, oh, fuck, what was the vision? Like, who bombed us? Who was it? And I have to start looking into like who it was, like based on clues from the vision to maybe find out who it was so that then I can go like track, I could get a passport and go to that country. And like, you know, I would probably have a friend who's a cop or something like that. Like, he's not very high up on the ladder, but like I could go to him and be like, listen, dude, I really think something bad is going to happen. And he'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you think I'm gonna risk my career based on your fucking dumb psychic shit? And I'd be like, fine, fuck you then. Another dead end. And then my girlfriend leaves because I'm obsessed with it.
This is a pretty low point. It sounds like there's about to be something that happens.
Well, the crossing of the threshold, I guess, would be that I go somewhere. Like, there's some lead that I have. I go somewhere. I'm investigating this thing to like try and see, can it be domestic terrorism? Because that would help me out a lot with the script.
Yeah.
All right. So then I don't have to go to China or anything like that. I just have to see the guy who does it.
Well, depending on what tax breaks the studio has, that's where you'll go. Like,
well, story wise, I don't know how my character. Eastern Europe. I don't know how my character. I guess that would be cool if I went to Eastern Europe. All right. So I could do that. I go there. I get beat up. I'm like getting involved with the weird
mafias. How did you know?
Well, it wouldn't be that. Yeah, I would be just trying to get information. That's the road of trials.
People are running interference on you.
And they're like, I'm getting beat up. I'm asking all the wrong questions until one motherfucker is like, hey, man, I can help you out. He's going to betray me later. Don't worry. But I get involved with this guy. He leads me to the right people, you know.
And you come up with the idea of his attack.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. It's not him. He doesn't do it, but he leads me to the right people, and then maybe once I have the thing, I come back to the USA. I tell
my cop friend. We weren't going to do this, but this is perfect.
I tell my cop friend, I warn him, and then I save the day, even though, yes, it's Terminator.
And the name of this movie is...
Bible Code.
Bible Code. See?
Or Long Legs.
I knew it.
Long Legs?
I was going to pitch Wade's World.
And it's referring to the legs
Wade's
of...
World.
Wade's World. Profit time.
That's a
excellent
movie. Someone write that.
My thing is this. When it comes to... And maybe this is my, you know, fucking lame-ass Baptist Christian upbringing that, like, I was always told that no matter what, no one could ever predict the end of the world. And that always just stuck with me. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. So I've seen hundreds.
Sorry, that no one can?
Yeah.
That's what they say?
That's impossible. Okay. Yeah. And I've seen hundreds of people claim the end of the world. And I love watching them the day after, you know?
Sure.
But my thing is there's so many doomsday predictions. You know what? This one's over. There's a new one. There's new Buru. Oh, you know what? This is the thing. This is the flood. This is the thing.
I think you're saying that you don't really buy into this prophecy.
I don't buy into negative prophecies. I buy into positive prophecies.
Like fortune tellers and fortune cookies. They're like...
No, not fortune cookies. Not even fortune tellers, but more like my thing is because I don't believe in time. I don't believe in time. Yes, this is how it works, but I believe that we can connect to other moments of time, that our future selves can be connected to our past selves, our consciousness.
And I do believe that time isn't linear. I just think that's the way we process it.
Yeah, that's when I say I don't believe in time, I mean our definition of linear time is not accurate. And I can show you time bending and time doing weird things.
Well, can I ask you this then? Like, how come, like, the guy who beats his kid... got beat as a child. Like, you know, he didn't, like, beat his kids. It's linear. It's causality, right? Like, it's, he got beat, and then he grew up and he beat his kids because he got beat.
To me, that is just straight up, we're just idiots, and that, like, we, a lot of us are still animals. To me, that's just an animal thing.
Well, but I'm
animal
just asking
thing.
About the, if time isn't linear, and this is pretty off topic, but this is something I've never understood that we've talked about before, is like, if time is not linear, then how come the things that happened to us in the past affect us in the future?
That, yeah. I mean, in order to sort of have time the way it is set up now, it has to be point A to point B.
Well,
what about scars
this,
and shit?
Take this, for example. Oh, well, I mean, like, yes, you can't ungrow a plant.
You can't circle back around on the same timeline, but there can be multiple different timelines.
But I'm saying, though, that, like,
here's what I think. It's a straight line that has branches.
Here's what I think. Take away the physical aspects of everything. And I'm not talking, that's my thing. It's a separation from the physical version of ourself to the spiritual version of ourself, our consciousness. I believe our consciousness can travel within times, not our physical bodies. I don't think that. So I think that I
just
can connect.
We're bags of chemicals. We're basically like vessels to hold a skeleton and like have these instincts to survive, because that's the way human beings.
Okay, what I think my soul is.
But that doesn't answer the psychological scars, though. That only answers physical scars.
But that, to me, that's the animal brain just being an idiot. This is how I was taught. This is how I will do. But like, you can break from the cycle of
yeah, I think what you're saying, in Wade, like, what if in your example the guy makes the choice not to beat his kid? Same person living from
no,
beginning to
you
end.
Just you gotta beat your kid though.
Ah!
You just gotta.
But
people
see,
who
like,
beat their kids don't go, maybe I shouldn't. They just beat the fuck
something
out
happened.
Of
maybe something happens.
Well, I've been
you
hit.
Know, it happens that convinces them otherwise. Like, I'm gonna break.
Yeah,
the
but
cycle
you don't have
violence.
Kids.
No. But I've been hit out of anger from so many of my family members, and I've never hit anybody.
Yeah, but you don't have a kid yet.
Maybe there is a version of Willie that's like a child and abuser.
But my thing is,
kids because he got hit.
My thing is the one thing. I mean, like, I agree with you, and I'm afraid of that. But I'm also like. You know what? I feel like a big part of love is communication, and that, like, if you can't communicate your love, you still might have it, but if you can't communicate it, that.
Yeah, but a toddler can't communicate, though. Like, a baby can't communicate. So when you get frustrated with them because they're not communicating right, it's overwhelming urge to just pop them. Just give them one right in the fucking mouth.
When you're kissing babies and now you're hitting children,
I'm
like,
kissing
all
women
over the board.
I'm kissing women who I call babies.
Oh, okay.
Hey, babies.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's that. I don't know. And we're talking about time now, which is weird, but like.
Well, prophets.
You're
do
talking,
though,
nature versus nurture mostly, I think.
So here's the thing, too, to consider. A prophet makes this bold prediction, right? And nobody knows if it's going to be true or not. You just say, okay, maybe this will happen. Like, they're going to build a 7-Eleven on Figueroa, like, on this day, and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's out there. People know about it.
You should have
set
a day, and then we would know if, like, you're a prophet or not.
Oh, how about, let's go 2017, August 19th.
You went a little too quick. I feel like those plans would already be in motion.
You're not good at this.
we could make it.
But whatever. If there's a 7-Eleven built on August 19th,
putting it out there, like
2017.
But who try to make a? Let's all try to make a real prediction right now.
Right now? Oh, okay.
All right,
based on the things that you know, based on the you know,
do
the
like
environment
an educated one, not just like
yeah,
a,
yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, I pass.
I mean, here's my thing. Did you guys see that did you guys see that video of that UFO that was in Jerusalem that they got from like five different angles?
No.
There were a bunch of people around this spot, and this light came down, and it was slow, and then there was like what looked like a flash of electricity, and then it just jolted up into the sky.
Sounds like a rocket.
Okay. I'll show you a video. It's actually really amazing. It's just like I predict it by 2017, by February, by Valentine's Day of 2017, that there will be undeniable proof that there is something else going on that we can't explain. I'm not saying aliens. I'm not saying, because it could be interdimensional. There's a lot of videos out there on YouTube. There's a lot of videos out there, and there's a lot of bullshit out there, and there's a lot of bullshit that's made specifically by, I think, government officials, or not government officials, but like the misinformation agenda, you know. I just feel like there's so much stuff out there getting captured on camera that by Valentine's Day next year, there's going to be something that like you just can't deny as being not. I don't want to say otherworldly, but it could be interdimensional. What?
What's your prediction? Is that your prediction?
That there's going to be something that everyone, it's just going to change.
So vague.
It is vague. Well, okay, there's going to be a video of a UFO that like you can't ignore.
Okay.
That will sway people into thinking like, holy shit, there's something weird.
Okay. It could happen. When? What year? When is this
going to
happen?
Next year. He's saying in less than a year this is going to happen.
All right. That's pretty bold.
Too soon, man.
But it's all
not going to happen.
Dude, the infrared Mexican Air Force videos, like that's been out for a few years, and like, but not enough people have seen it. It's pretty interesting. It's like there's no UFOs until they turn their infrared on.
All right. I hope it comes true.
But like that just kind of got brushed aside. You know, there's going to be something else bigger than that. That UFO that was in Chicago a couple years ago, like.
Yeah. You've seen a bunch of videos of UFOs.
You want to know mine? My prediction?
Yeah, let's hear yours.
My prediction is that Donald Trump will not win the presidency. It's going to be Hillary Clinton. And then 8 years from now, when she can't run again.
Jesus, she gets elected to a second term?
She gets a second term. She gets a second term. I think that my life will not have changed that much.
Because you're a white middle-class guy.
Yeah, I'm a white middle-class guy.
You've worn the same shorts for 10 years.
And that I think the majority of Americans' lives won't be affected by the president. And the ones that do let the president affect their lives shouldn't be in this country anyway.
Have you seen the there's a lot of conspiracy videos out there saying that.
That is a very soapboxy prophecy.
It's a soapboxy thing. It's a soapboxy thing, but if you're posting on Facebook.
And I'm going to violently disagree with you on that.
You're
going to
disagree.
Here's my prediction. Not only will your life be different in 8 years, but you will have met a nice sweetie and you'll be married to her.
I like that one. I like that one. Sweetie baby.
There's a bunch of conspiracy videos out there saying that Obama's going to nullify the 22nd Amendment and he's going to come back for another term because of what do you call that when state of emergency but
like wartime sort of
like
rules?
when the president
martial law
that he's going to declare martial law. I mean there's so many, of course, martial law conspiracies theories out there, but that he's going to get another term because of martial law and the 22nd.
There's no reason. Yeah, I mean that's a really funny conspiracy theory.
Funny. There's nothing.
There's no reason for him to do that.
It's just It's just scare tactics.
Well, of what? Of something that's not going to happen that you can't do anything about?
It's someone having anxiety and then thinking that this is possible and then assuming it's going to happen because, it's like, oh, there is someone outside my window. Here's the proof.
I just think, like, if that happens, what's the point? What are these people saying we're supposed to do? Like, oh, hey, yeah, so Obama, he's just going to, like, be our dictator now.
I know. So get out there and vote.
So what?
So get out. So let them know that you've seen my video and that we can change and that we don't have to listen to. I know. I know, dude. I'm telling you, like, I think that I'm a pretty intelligent guy and I sort. It's hard to sort through all this bullshit and.
Wait, I don't know. Wait, can we go back? What does she look like?
She is okay. Really? All right.
Yeah, here's I'm curious.
What she is. She's actually a little taller than you. Is that okay?
It's fine.
Not much, just a little. Very smart.
What kind of music is she into?
She likes a lot of like Billy Joel and like, you know, kind of like
overrated softcore.
I hate to break it to you. She's a Jimmy Buffett fan.
She's a parrot head.
She's not a parrot head, but she doesn't hate Jimmy Buffett. She's like, yeah.
So we're like, you're probably going to go to Margaritaville on a date. Like, that's going to be one of our
she
dates.
Knows the shark
not,
dance.
No, but that's not going to be like, she's not like, I have to go to Margaritaville. She's just like, I don't get it. I don't know why people hate Jimmy Buffett so much. It sounds fine to me.
Does she also like Sammy Hagar?
No, she's not really into like the hair metal stuff.
Okay.
She's more into just like kind of like cool tunes, you know, just like real cool contemporary stuff.
I like that. What does she do? What's her occupation?
I mean, that's a good question. I know that she works in the industry, but I don't know in what capacity. And I think it's definitely like a more office-y thing.
Okay. So she's like bringing home the bacon. I'm fine with that.
What kind of jokes do they tell each other? What's their comedy tone as a partnership?
They're not really that funny. Honestly, neither of them are that funny. It's a lot of real boring. It's a boring relationship, honestly, when you look at it from the outside. But you're super happy, so don't even worry about what
other
people do.
I'll take boring and happy over excited and alone. That's fine. Well, I hope that comes true.
Well,
we'll see. We'll check back when.
8 years we have now. 8 years from November.
Yeah. I'm going to have you guys at my wedding announcing on the sideline so you can sort of.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Be a callback.
I'll tell you that she won't like that.
She's not
going to
like that. But
I mean, pitch it to her.
She loves me.
Dude,
so it's one of the things
dude,
that.
If this comes true, you have to let us record an episode of your wedding.
I make the promise right now if that comes true.
Of your wedding? Like, we're going to be at the
wedding? Yeah, we're going to podcast his wedding. Like, this is it. This is Wade prophesied this back in so and so. And
I mean, I hate to say it, but my other prophecy is that we don't have a podcast in 8 years.
Listen, I'm sorry we didn't go into specifics. Yes, I could have rattled off facts all day of like, oh, well, this guy said this, this guy said this.
But it's never facts, though, because that's the whole problem with these prophecies is it's people kind of like seeing what they want to see with stuff. You know, nobody's ever, like, correctly predicted the future in a very definitive, like, here is definitely what's going to happen. And that's why prophecies are lame.
I'm telling you, Edgar Casey has some pretty decent ones.
Yeah, but those all have to do with, like, the pyramids and, like, maybe there's something under
the like,
pyramid.
No, like, he predicted the stock market crash and was telling people how to make money off of to, like, not lose their money.
In the 20s? That he could just be very wise though.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. It's just like, you know, the
because you know, I mean, if you watch The Big Short, bad movie, but there were people who definitely
Academy Award winning movie,
but
Academy Award winning bad movie,
Academy Award winning bad movie that features people who definitely predicted that, and they weren't prophets. They just looked.
That's
at
where all the prophets exist. If
they
are
made
here,
profits.
They if they go, oh man, money never sleeps, does it?
I mean, here's the craziest thing that and I've said this before, but it's pretty fucking crazy that he said let's say Atlantis. There have been tons of people throughout time who have talked about Atlantis. You know, of course, this all started with Plato and Edgar Casey basically said that. Underneath the right paw of the Sphinx is the hall of records of the existence of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a chamber underneath the right paw of the Sphinx like a decade ago. And then that's when they started closing off this area. It's like, okay, you can't just come here anymore. And they started digging, and they've been in the chamber. He said that information will not be released until humanity is ready to receive that information. And it's like, why has it been a decade since they're in there. I think the existence.
You think there's a big piece in there that, but the humanity can't, you know.
The existence of Atlantis doesn't fit within our history of the world and the history of humans, and so it kind of changes everything. And so it's interesting to hear that
could be
part of it.
A big liar could be just lying through his teeth.
But also, why does Atlantis really fuck up our history?
Because it was a civilization that existed before. It was a very advanced civilization that existed long before. Not necessarily cavemen, but maybe, but like, it doesn't fall within our history of evolution, our history of technology, because this society, according to Edgar Cayce, would shoot lasers into crystals, and that's how they, that was their energy source.
And that's how they had fun, too.
Do it again, bro.
Can you imagine a rave inside one of those pyramids?
Fucking shoot the laser in the crystal. It goes everywhere. It makes 5 lasers.
People wearing, like, goat, like...
We're creating lasers out of nothing.
Angel wings dancing around.
Yeah, I mean, that's all, like, well and good, but that everything is predicated upon another thing. And so it's like, oh yeah, Atlantis, okay, so Atlantis is a sunken city, like, first of all, believe that, and then also believe that, like, they had lasers and technology that, like, predates any civilization, of course, because they were, like, fucking before whatever. So then also buy that, but then also buy that Edgar Cayce, that first of all, that he called it out, like, I don't know how factual any of that is. And then, secondly, that it's below the paw, the right paw of the Sphinx, which is hilarious. And then also that the Egyptians have been down there for 10 years because they just don't know if anyone can handle this. And, like, maybe we should keep this secret. And, like, let's definitely not.
No, I don't think that's what they're doing. The thing is, it makes them all liars.
But it's A, B, C, D, E. It takes, you're all the way to, like, M or P before you can, like, get any of this to make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm sure what they found under the paw of the Sphinx was, like, a bunch of fucking Egypt history shit. It was like, here's another king guy, and here's a headdress, and here's a coffin.
If it was that easy, then you take credit for it and you throw it in the museum.
Here. Fuck. How did this cat get in here? Is he from ancient times, or did he just, like, get in here somehow?
No, that's already Puddles.
They're trying
that's
to translate
cat.
It. Like,
But you're just, like, assuming that they're like nefarious.
If it was just regular things, then you would get money for discovering it and then also putting it in a new museum. You want to discover things,
not if you work for the government, right? Only if you're a private.
If you work for the government, the benefit of having something of historical importance, obviously, is tourism. Like, people are going to want to go see the sacred hall of the Sphinx under the right paw, you know, that told us about Atlantis. You know, like, people are going to want to see that. So they got to build that up. They got to put all, like, the machines down there and, like, the lights.
They're putting the plexiglass up.
They're doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
They're taking their time. Like,
it takes a long time because you got to be archaeological about it.
You do. And there's a lot of sensitive, you know, artifacts that, you know, have to be specially handled.
You have to dust off all the little pots.
What if, let's say this, what if aliens have been dead way longer before humans ever existed, right?
But like Prometheus?
But we found evidence of aliens.
Like Prometheus?
Yeah, like Prometheus.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I love the first half of that movie.
Only less literal?
But let's say you find an alien craft that's like that existed long before humans ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
try and start it. Doesn't start.
Yeah, but Do you think any? Do you think that who let that? Let's
who
say
let
we
the dogs out.
Do you think that the like the U.S. government would say would be okay with that information getting out there? What if they also knew the aliens were dead, and then they're no more alien?
I think if I were the government, I'd be trying to weaponize the spacecraft or like design, take the technology that was there, so I could have an advantage over, you know, like China and other.
I mean, that's
like,
that's my
powers.
Thing. The Cold War is what made all because most UFO interactions happened after.
All right,
I'd be Lex Luthor Jr. So Batman v Superman.
So happened after
Egypt,
World War II.
If Egypt all of a sudden has like these amazing jets and they're like fucking us up daily for no reason, then we can be like, ah, oh, damn, fucking Edgar Cayce, he was right. They had alien technology down there, and they went to Atlantis and found it, and now they're fucking us up. Shit.
Oops. That's oops. That's what you say. If you're
we should have listened to Willie.
Yeah, we should have. I don't know what I'm kind of. I don't know. I know you don't believe in prophets. Like, you think it's a total scam.
It's not a scam. It's just a bunch of people saying some shit that don't. And then other people are like, "Oh, that means something."
Yeah, I'm kind of on that same side.
My thing is this: I feel like most prophets believe themselves, whether they're real or not. I feel like most.
Oh, you have to be.
Prophets
otherwise, why
believe
would
themselves,
you put yourself
and
out there
and that they're actually trying to do something good. But like, how do you do something good by just let's say you could list off every pope that it will ever be out there, and that this pope we currently have is the last pope. What does that mean? Like,
do you want
to
feel
they
important?
Finally got wise to the pedophiles and they shut the whole fucking thing down?
I know we've known for years that they're. Fucking shit up,
yeah.
On the boy level.
Well, the problem is they move him in between countries, and so there's not a good way to like track this guy. Like, if some guy fucks a bunch of kids in Massachusetts, then they move him to like Italy,
yeah.
And Italy's like, I don't know who this fucking guy is, and then we get like some fucking Greek dude.
It's like the reverse Roman Polanski. And they just,
I mean, there's
send him overseas and. Welcome him in with open arms.
Right.
That's a cynical, probably accurate, but cynical.
I think
view
that's right. I
is
think
that
that's
right?
Right? Yeah.
I'm not up on that. So.
They just don't give a shit.
That's bad.
Here's my thing: is I wonder.
Well, and they're also not to like fucking whatever, but like, they're fighting against legislation that would like extend the statute of limitations for like sexual assaults and stuff like that. And it's like, why are you doing that?
Because money.
Catholic Church, like
the Catholic Church likes not having to pay lawyers and lose congregation.
Okay, sure.
Stuff. Like it's a political thing. The church is
But it's political motivated. In the very very literal of pedophilia.
Sure, yeah. Politics discounts human life.
Oh, welcome to my world, baby. Let's talk about this
you
for
talk
a
about
fucking
the police?
Hour.
Let's talk about the police.
Oh shit, I would love to. God damn. But
maybe next time.
But listen, there is good news on the police front. The fucking part time cop, the fucking 65-year-old one or whatever, who shot the guy because he thought he was reaching for his taser. He was like you know about this. It happened like last year or 2 years ago. He shot a guy that they already had pinned down in the back.
Oh, yeah, I saw. Because
he thought he was
that,
reaching
right?
for his taser. I don't think there's video of this.
This isn't Skid Row?
But they arrested him. No. This is not even in L.A.
Oh.
Not even California, I don't think. But it, like, made headlines because he was just, like, he was, like, a big police donor. He was like, hey, I'm a cop, too. And they would let him come with, like, all the guns and shit. He was, like, a deputy.
That's so weird.
What? You must know about this.
That's so
anyway,
weird.
The point of the story is... He's in jail, denied bail currently, and he's super old, and like, I don't think they're going to send him to jail for very long, but...
Oh, I did see something like that, but he had a loaded gun and a taser, and he reached for the wrong one,
yeah.
And, like, shot the
guy. Well, he grabbed the wrong one.
He was
one
too
and,
old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also not a, like, real police guy.
Well...
I mean, maybe he was. I don't know what kind of training he went through.
Yeah.
Willie just left. What else in the cop world that we can talk about?
Oh, man.
There's another thing. There's a.
Can I give a positive one?
Yeah, yeah. Please do.
The cop that played basketball, like a pickup basketball game with inner city youth in Miami.
Yeah.
Who like plays lets them like go in the squad car and like is friendly with them. He does this after the neighbors called in a complaint of like gang activity. He shows up and sees its kids. And like invited Shaquille O'Neal along, so like Shaq shows up and they're just playing like pickup basketball on the street with these inner city youth.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty heartwarming. I mean, there's good cops out there.
Well, I think 90% of them are good. It's
a tough job too.
I have two cop friends, and you know, they're not like psychopaths. They don't like just want to shoot people. But then there's a bunch of asshole cops who just want to fucking like hurt people.
Every industry has those people that are just bad people.
Yeah,
but my thing is this:
most industries they don't have guns.
What is bad? Is bad?
They have the pen, which is mightier.
The pen is mightier.
Is bad that you are trying to do everything for yourself, or is bad that you'll do whatever you're told, even though it's not good for someone else?
I think my definition of bad is when you will willingly hurt somebody else for your own gain. And it's pretty cut and dry with me. Like, if you hurt somebody on accident, if there's congressmen who really are that stupid and are voting for the wrong things because they're that dumb, I don't think they're evil, but I think it's like all the people who are like pulling those strings and like donating and shit. Like, I mean, I don't know, fucking fracking and
because you can fool yourself into thinking that, oh, hey, I'm a doctor, these guys are gonna, you know, give me money if I just pump this out. It's just like the old one, like, you know, I'm not evil, you know,
I might
as well make a little bit more money.
Yeah,
like
or like, oh man, we got all this extra fluoride, like we could just put it in the water, you know, like nobody.
Here we go again. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi, a.k.a. the Fluoride Podcast.
I'm telling you, there is no... I will accept drinking. Yeah, okay,
we cannot get into fucking fluoride again. We've been going for too long. We got to end this.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. There are bad people, right? And those people... 100%. Those people, I think, are motivated by money, by ego.
I would say it's greed for the most part.
And greed. And part of that is psychological. They know that if they can make people afraid, that they can profit off of that. They can profit. They can make people sort of.
I don't think you have to look any
a certain way.
I don't think you have to look any further than the fucking affluenza kid, who you guys know this, right? He was drunk driving. He's a super rich kid. Drunk driving, like, killed three people, and then they put him on probation because he didn't understand, because he had grown up in such a fucking whatever.
It's like a privileged community.
Sheltered, privileged.
That he didn't know.
Once he posted
bail. Yeah, they tried to.
And they changed their identity and they got caught in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, his mom is not a good.
Not a good yeah, person. No. And it's like. And I think that, like, he 100% knew the ramifications of his actions and he didn't do that anyway. And. Like, I don't think there's a person alive that thinks that drunk driving can't hurt anybody else, right? I mean, that's been pretty ingrained in society for the last fucking 40 years.
Well, if you're not paying attention to stuff, you're just still having a good time. You know what I mean? Like, I honestly think that there are people sheltered enough to not know that actually it's a bad idea.
Oh, come on. That cannot be true.
In order to get a driver's license, you have to read books and watch videos that say, don't drink and drive. And anytime you buy, like, alcohol at an event, it's like, be responsible. Don't.
But my point is, I think just that's,
I hope,
like,
that's really sheltered.
I hope you're right. I'm thinking, like, Nicole Richie and fucking, whatever.
I think Nicole Richie does know that drinking and driving is bad. I don't think there's a person in America that doesn't know that drinking and driving is bad. And my point is, he got, you know, they paid a lot for, instead of, like, because he was a minor at the time, instead of just going, like, yeah, fucking You can't drive anymore. Like, you should go to jail for a little bit. They're just like, yeah, fucking, let's use a lot of money to make him not learn his lesson. Because then, yeah, he did it again or whatever. He wasn't driving, but he violated his probation by being, like, filmed at drinking at a party.
I'm not saying that they don't know that they're doing bad. I'm saying that they're so far removed from bad because they're so bigger than everything else. It's like, well, I can't do anything
but
wrong.
That's the definition,
this isn't
going
to happen
though, right?
To me. This is, like...
But that's the definition of someone who's bad, is someone who willingly, they know that it's bad and they do it anyway.
I agree. I think that's true.
I agree. I'm saying some people, though, might not even know it's bad because they're so egotistical that what bad is affecting someone in a bad way that they don't even know that they can affect
other
people in a bad way.
They've been
bad
their whole lives, right? They've never been caught. They kind of know it's bad, right? Nobody's called them on it, so that's why they continue to do bad things, right? Because it's easier and it's more fun for them or what, for whatever reason, they just keep, you know, pushing it until one day it finally something goes wrong. And they're, like, arrested, and they have to come up with something, you know, to try. Like, that's a desperation move to try and get out of something like
oh,
that.
Dude, yeah.
And you have to, because what else are you going to do? Just sit there and say, like, yep, I did it. I killed those people. Let's go to prison. Just don't, like, let's not use all the taxpayers' money for public defenders. You know, like, I'm going to move this along and take my medicine. Nobody's doing that.
Well, they're not using public defenders either. They're spending a
fuckload
of money on...
Well, the people have to pay for lawyers.
For the state.
Anyway, that's getting away from the topic.
Anyway,
right?
There's going to be... I saw 10 different doomsday prophecy videos today that I'd never seen before. And
they're not true, is my feeling.
Yeah, and I'm just like... I don't know. It's just like...
So are we all three in agreement here?
People think that they're trying to do a good thing. Like, oh, that... But I'm like, what? Where are you getting your information from?
If Edgar Casey didn't exist, Willie would not believe in prophets.
Yeah, yeah. That is probably true. He's the one where I'm like, dude...
Well, the exception proves the rule. Prophets don't exist. Right?
I don't think they do.
But
I think it's just
the way he
described
his prophecy was like, listen, this could all change if you just change a little bit. The future is not set. There's like he said some great things that made me go like, I don't believe in prophets, but I believe him.
Interesting. Well, he's technically a prophet though.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
All
so
right,
put me down
so
for
that's
now.
Gonna do it. Thanks for listening, everybody. You already plugged your, what is it? Digital ladder?
Digital ladder, yeah.
.com.
Anything else?
Go on.
That's it.
You got a Twitter? You want people to know your Twitter?
I don't do a lot of social media. I mean, if you want to watch something that I've worked on, the Fighter and the Kid 3D web series just released online. It's with Fox Sports, with Brian Callen from MadTV and Brendan Schaub, who's an ex-MMA guy. They have a podcast.
Just Google The Fighter,
the
and, the
Fighter
Kid
and the Kid
3D.
And for the love of God, please download Go 90 and watch Fatal Decision.
Oh, yeah, baby. You can't lose when you go 90.
You
I think that's
lose.
The slogan.
I just learned what that meant.
That you turn that your phone 90 degrees.
And it fills up the screen?
It's supposed to. It doesn't work on Android. But don't tell them I said that.
Hey, if you're ever trying to get rid of any old toys or anything, just let me know.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Doug, what do we say?
Suck our
Disney. Oh, Disney.
You're not a prophet.
Feral Audio.
Hello. I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. He's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich...
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I help people. She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My